Welcome back to part two of Total Creative Economic Integrator. If you missed part one, be sure to listen to the previous episode.
Yes. Okay, so we've done total, we've done creative, now we come to economic, and the definition that I use here in the thought process is new kinds of productivity measured in greater revenues and profits.
Yeah.
This is where I'm drawing a line. You know, it's like free days, focus days, and buffer days. You know, a free day is a free day, a focus day is a focus day, and a buffer day is a buffer day. Joe Polish and I on the 10 Times Talk, I had three podcasts where I completely objected to the whole notion of social entrepreneurism. I said that these are socialists who are trying to dress up as capitalists, you know, and I said that the thing that makes an entrepreneur is that they go into the marketplace and hit head on, does someone actually want to write me a check for this?
Yeah.
And can I measure my progress in people writing checks in terms of increased revenues and profits? And if you don't have that at the center of your game changer, you're not going to change any game.
Yeah. And who writes those checks is obviously the big thing, right? So when you think about, and I agree, you know, there's social entrepreneurism where it's nonprofit or it's for the good of the world. It is similar to calling, you know, someone who works at a big company an entrepreneur. They might be entrepreneurially minded, which I think is great, but it's not true entrepreneurism where you've got a real direct relationship with payroll every month,
yes.
Cash flow, balance sheet to protect you from downturns in the market where you've got risk removal from staying alive. There's a lot of things that real entrepreneurs have a very different daily challenge with that becomes, if not looked at the right way, something that will plague you daily if you don't look at it quarterly, annual, and long-term. So business models matter a lot. And it's interesting because I've looked at this. We have a very unique business model at Startup Health. Even though there's a global peer network like a YPO component to what Startup Health is doing, you can't pay to be a member of Startup Health because we want to select people for it. And we don't want people to be able to pay their way in just because they can write a check. So there's very specific criteria. We have a coaching program and an academy element to Startup Health, but you can't pay for it. And we don't look for entrepreneurs to foot the bill on that. We looked at things differently and said, if we're really going to transform healthcare, we want to not only be investors in these companies and have direct alignment with success and failure, but we believe that investors are the check writers here.
Yes.
And so we have built a business model where we have investors investing in these funds that we've built that enable us to then provide this platform to entrepreneurs in exchange for equity in their companies or directly a stake through our investment in their company. And the program that we've built, the powerful media network that we built, the exposure we provide, the community we connect them to, the checks don't come from them. And it's allowed us to be very, I loved your word, monogamous with our business model. We have these investors who invest in our funds and those funds allow us to invest in our companies and that powers the engine. So we can be coaching for long-term equity value creation and success and achievement of the moonshot. We can be making sure that the network and the community of entrepreneurs continue to connect people in a way that, again, is long-term minded. And it's enabled us to be freed up to know that our cash comes from one place, but the long-term success and the extra kicker comes from when companies exit an IPO or they grow in equity value, or they sell their company to a bigger company to kind of get to the next level. So there's complete alignment towards the achievement of moonshots. Again, for us, the economic model of Startup Health, this unique business model to fund operations, this unique business model to bring in investors as partners and collaborators, powerful platform to achieve moonshots, long-term moonshots in healthcare. Again, I don't think it would translate to other sectors very well. And I also don't think it's for everybody because you have to have a direct excitement about the business model you choose. But that's the one we chose. I think that your example within Strategic Coach of being monogamous with one business model enables you to not be distracted by other opportunities to make money. So you're able to, like we are, to say no to a lot of things, even though people want to pay for things that you might otherwise be able to offer, doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
So Can you talk about your perspective of the economic component here? Because new kinds of productivity measured by greater revenues and profits could make you open to any kind of revenue and any kind of opportunity. But like you, we've chose to be monogamous about it.
Yeah, and both Babs and I have been real guard dogs on this particular issue, because first of all, we get a lot of ideas. A lot of people have very ambitious ideas what we can do with our company and would like us to get involved in this. And why don't you do a partnership with such and such person and this? And why don't you create a digital coaching program and then you can have millions of people who are paying you? And I said, well, that's not really what the business is. The business is a workshop program. It will always be a workshop program. It will always be live. I said, we'll add a lot of digital support material, but we're not going to charge for that because I don't want to be bothered by the revenue and profit coming from another activity, which is outside of our main model. And I guess my attitude towards the money-making activity of our company is the same as my attitude towards my relationship with Babs, you know, that there's no other possibilities. There's no alternative except this one partnership and relationship. And I know you feel exactly the same way about Rebecca.
Yep.
The thing about this is that, and we've all learned this from being an entrepreneur, is you got to be well-funded at all times so that you have total confidence about your ambitions.
Yep.
You want to go bigger just because going bigger and getting better is enormously enjoyable activity in doing it and having done it. And the one thing I do know, you got to measure that in economic terms to know whether you're doing a good job or not.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate your worldview on this. I think, you know, even in the last 7 years and probably in the first five, I would say, we experimented with the temptation, I should say, we gave into the temptation and experimented with some other business models to kind of complement our primary business model. And what I found every time, whether we went into a regional partnership program or we had sponsorships for different things, I found there to be a lack of alignment, sometimes conflict in the end goal. And just because you're quote unquote paying us doesn't mean you can dictate what we do or how we do it. And I think that became a eye-opening observation. Every one of those attempts at multiple revenue streams in different ways that didn't all have the equity value and long-term success of our companies in mind put us at odds. Mm-hmm. So by being monogamous, not with just one revenue stream, but being monogamous to how you're going to make money and allow yourself to make sure that you don't, through death by a thousand cuts, tear the team or the efforts down and work against yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty profound kind of component to this economic piece you have here, because it's not new kinds of productivity at measuring revenues and profits at all costs in any way, but being freed up to focus on just continue to get better at what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you think about it, you're making two fundamental messages. First of all, to the entrepreneurial network that you have, you're being judged by your future growth potential here in two ways. One, you're going to produce something that's really a moonshot. And number two is that the value of your business operation is going to constantly increase and that you're going to get rewarded from both of those. We're going to get rewarded from both of those, and our investors are going to get rewarded for both of those.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you're saying to the investors, you know, we don't want any kind of investment money. We want investment money that comes with the total commitment to what we're doing with our entrepreneurial network.
Yep.
So there's no dissonance anywhere in your model. And it's the lack of dissonance that really creates the confidence.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that actually, you know, brings us to the last piece, which is being able to integrate it all, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is. All of these things, I think, are clarity for you as an entrepreneur, clarity for your team. And then when you kind of put this last piece together as an integrator, can you describe it? And then I'll tell you, I look at it from our standpoint of Startup Health, but the integrator kind of bookend is for you.
Yeah, well, I think the integrator role is that because of your clarity of thinking and the way that you've conducted yourself as an entrepreneur so far in your life, that you have your act more together than anyone that you're going to interact with who has great, what I would call, multiplying capabilities out in the marketplace. You're going to be the center of the entire integration of the Game Changer operation just because you're not distracted by anything except the project at hand.
Yeah. So what are your three for integrator? And then I'll share my three because I think...
My big thing is that I've really tested for probably the last 10 years, I've been testing out this new model through collaborations. One of them is with Genius Network and Joe. The other one is Abundance 360 with Peter Diamandis, Engagement Multiplier with Stefan Wissenbach, and then the Lodestone platform, which I've been really working with Stephen Poulter. And in every case, I let them know right up front, I said, anything that happens out of this, you own it 100% and all the money's yours, okay? It's very, very interesting what that does to other people's minds who have a long entrepreneurial experience where everybody wants to know what piece of the pie that they're going to have. And I said, well, the piece of pie that we're going to have is what we create down the road. I just had a webinar with Peter Diamandis where I was promoting to the entire Strategic Coach community his Abundance Digital. You know, he's got 2,500 people in Abundance Digital now, above and beyond the people who do the live conference every year. He's now in four cities in the world with Abundance 360. He's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's in Dubai. He's in Shanghai. And it's getting really, really big. But right from the beginning, he owns it 100% and all the money's his. And I think it threw him into a state of confusion. Well, what does he actually want? And I said, I want what you and I are creating for my clients. That's what I want. And I can't create this capability out in the world inside Strategic Coach. It's got to be outside of Strategic Coach. Same thing with Genius Network, same thing with Multiplier. And I said, I don't want you ever thinking, you know, is Dan doing his part to deserve ownership? And is Dan doing his part to deserve the money that I don't want you thinking that. I just want you to think about actually creating this brand new capability in the world. I know what I own and I know how to make money. So that part of our collaboration is taken care of. Yeah. But that's the basic framework of my model. And I have to tell you, now that we've introduced the Total Creative Economic Integrator, something got really clear to me that what I wanted from Strategic Coach, that it become the vehicle that finally gets me to the Total Creative Economic Integrator as a framework for coaching really advanced game-changing entrepreneurs. And I feel like there's been a 30-year closing of the circle here, and this is the beginning of our 30th year of Strategic Coach. And I said, this really feels good. That feels like I've taken the two ends that were just out there, and I've kind of hooked them together with this one concept, this one framework. So the other thing is my podcast series, you know, the one with you. I just love the podcast series because there's such great germinators of new ideas that go into Strategic Coach. And the Game Changer program itself is, you know, this is my life forever right now.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of the integrator, you know, I'm kind of pulling things together and laying track and listening, you know, what's not clicking, or we're going to have to come up with a new thinking process here. We're going to have to create an entirely new context. I would say that just your feedback tells me that this is one of the biggest context pieces I've ever created since we started.
Yeah, I think it is for context, you know, and again, I said, some of the tools are very personal and are meant for you to kind of think and do and work through. Some are just great collaboration tools. This one's a great collaboration tool. And, you know, I think a lot of the conversation we had about collaboration, being a collaborator and viewing this, is if you kind of step back and almost ask yourself, what kind of collaborations have you done successfully? By the way, it might be helpful to look also at ones you haven't done successfully. Mm-hmm. I think you kind of see that there's an alignment towards no additional quote unquote deals being put in place where they work the best, right? Where everybody wins on their terms if everything works out. It helped me think through that, you know, we have these collaborations with our health transformers, this community of 260 companies and 500 entrepreneurs, and thinking about all of the capabilities they all have now are opened up for each other. If Startup Health, the organization, was never involved, and now you're part of a community of collaborators, then what we get to witness, like I've told you about the Canadian entrepreneur and the US entrepreneur connecting in, there was a collaboration around business models. And I know that after that call, the entrepreneur who was only doing business in the US started really thinking about a global strategy differently, and his technologies now has been brought outside the US and is now applicable through a collaboration. It was about knowledge, and it wasn't about even services. It was about this, they collaborated to really work through those business models. So that's one element of collaboration for us. The other one we're integrating on is this limited partner community, investor community for our entrepreneurs and for ourselves. And it's fascinating when you start to look at the commonality of everybody's really trying to make an impact. And so there's this whole other layer of integration that we can now play. And I hadn't seen it, quite frankly, before two Thursdays ago, but the different tools that we use at Startup Health, the different collaborations we use, outsourcing and others that we can introduce our community to, is only a fraction of what they all as a community can help open up each other's eyes to. In other words, everybody's using different tools and services to get and build their business. What's fascinating is when they share those tools with each other. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole layer of integration that these entrepreneurs are doing and each other are doing that I think is bringing a new capability to all of them. So Total Creative Economic Integrator becomes a framework that enables everybody to kind of see through that lens the powerful game-changing platform that they've built and benefiting from being connected in to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I think, you know, it's probably you're born with kind of a predisposition to these activities or you're not. My sense is that if each of us goes back to 6 or 7 years old, with what was available to us at that time, we were dabbling in these different areas. And we were never satisfied with someone else's definition or formula, how we were going to form our lives. And it's not necessarily being a rebel. It's just that the clothes that other people are buying you don't look good, don't feel good, don't fit, you know, and you don't feel that you're you when you're wearing these other clothes. But I just go back because I've known you over two decades and you had law, you've had a passionate interest in medicine, you got involved with the internet, you got involved in marketing. And then the other aspect of it is that you had the experience of IPO. So, you know, from startup until successful public offering and timing, especially, I mean, how important timing is, and partnerships. These were all early experiments, each of which produced a specific lesson, raise your capabilities in certain areas, then the understanding of how things get funded in a major way through capital markets, and then the whole notion that probably, you know, closed labs of developing breakthroughs and moonshots isn't going to happen with closed labs. It has to be worldwide. It has to be global. But these moonshots have to be forming on an entrepreneurial basis.
Bingo. That last piece is the biggest part of that description, the entrepreneur-led version of it. And we talked about this at the end. You know, you called it an R&D lab for entrepreneurial leaders in this space. And I think that's really, you know, what works and what doesn't work is profoundly helpful either way.
Yeah.
The entrepreneur-led version is the big difference, right? There's no shortage of academia, hospitals, research institutions, big pharma doing great research, but they're doing great research. They're not bringing the resources from a lower level of productivity to a higher level and not doing it from the commercialization lens of an entrepreneur, nor, by the way, embody the mindset of the entrepreneur. And so I think that one word is the breakthrough and the difference between us seeing the next 25 years in healthcare be radically different results-wise, impact-wise, than the last 10,000 years.
Yes.
I mean, just radically different because of the entrepreneurial capabilities now at the disposal of everybody in a community like this. And so if I look at Strategic Coach and what it's done is really confidence building towards these unique abilities and capabilities we now have. And the Game Changer program, interestingly enough, in the first 6 months without the word Total Economic Creative Integrator, very powerful, but not until you kind of tie it together. Did it now fit, at least for me, into a completely different lens?
Steve, because we're definitely going to share this podcast, if the other game changers that are in the workshops with you, what would be your message to them? Because some of them were at the special event and some of them weren't. Just what you would say in terms of their own thinking about their game changer collaborations, what would be the significant takeaway for this for you?
Yeah, I think that my takeaway, without a doubt, would be that you can't be living in both worlds, both your base company, day-to-day, cash flowing, you know, conventional or traditional or regular company, and try to be game changing at the same time. I think that you've got to delegate and believe in your team and let your team keep running what you're doing. But I don't think you could be half in. And, you know, it's funny, we talked a couple of episodes ago about the mindset scorecard we use at Startup Health. And the first mindset is long-term commitment. And it's about being all in, willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes. And the variations of the mindset are all about, well, you kind of can't be 1 foot in and 1 foot out as an entrepreneur with a job, but still want to do this entrepreneurial thing. And you can't be just talking about it and dreaming about it. You got to be all in. And I feel that same way about game changing. Like, you're either all in and you're cutting the cord, so to speak, at least with how you spend your time, because it really there's two different worlds. And if you want to live in game changer world and fully live in there, then all of the capabilities, all of these total economic, creative, economic integration things become the daily energy, you know, on how you're spending your time. I think as soon as you start to live in or bifurcate your time, I think it's really hard. And so I came away going, those entrepreneurs who've kind of burned the boat, so to speak, and they're letting that be done separately and can fully immerse themselves in game changing, it's not only exciting, but it's also, I think, needs you all in. So I think you got to be all in. I know you're carefully orchestrating being all in, with 10X being able to be run without you and being fully in game changer over the next, I think you said 2 years?
Actually, four.
Next 4 years. But I would posit to say, and I know a lot of your ingredients come, the sooner you can get there, the faster the game change goes. And I know you don't want to put anything at risk, but I do think there's something to be said for us, the leaders of the game changing companies, to be freed up to be able to live there full time. Big, big, big piece. Very hard to almost mess with your mind and try to do both. Yeah. That's kind of my takeaway.
And the other thing, Steve, we have at any given time 30 to 50 10X clients that are thinking about coming into the game changer. They'll be supplied with this information now.
Yeah. So while you might not love the answer, if you're not ready, don't come in, because you're going to be really frustrated really quickly. And there's no good that's going to come from you walking in and almost being put in the gap, so to speak, because you can't be game changing full time. And so I believe that you need to be both cash flow and mindset ready, but you need to jump in the deep end. I don't think there's dabbling in game changing. Again, giving you my perspective of, I think you could read about it, you can listen to podcasts, you can look at the tools, but when you're fully ready and you're like ready to go and you're like ready to be all in, there's no better community and no better framework and no better set of tools to do it. But I do think that kind of being ready, there's no faking it here. You got to be all in. And if you want to be doing it, it's almost like a fire hose of game-changing opportunities, which is why I say if you're not ready, it can drown you, or you could be in the gap or things like that. So what's exciting is the community. And I feel this way, by the way, about the Health Transformer community. If you're not ready to work on a moonshot, Startup Health's not right for you. If you're not ready to talk about a 25-year impact, if you're not ready to be surrounded only by supportive people, if you're not ready to recalibrate every quarter, if you're not ready to grow your confidence and your ambition and be self-aware and coachable and be value creating and be batters included with no tolerance for batters not included people, Startup Health's going to be a very frustrating experience for you and us. And that's why we're not going to let you in and invite you in. And that's why you're not going to have a good experience. Same way I feel about game changing. If you're not ready to go all in and be committed to mastering the mindset of being a game changer and following through, then wait till you are, and then know that it'll be here when you're ready. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my short answer. And I go, you know, I think you even said that you learned a lot letting some people into Game Changer who had the aspiration but weren't ready, and you asked them to leave because it was in conflict with the commitment level of everybody in the community to be in the Game Changer zone all the time.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, that you have been getting ready for this for a long time, Steve. So, you know, it's really a pleasure, I want you to know, because I do have quite a bit of insight into 20-year growth curve on your part that had a lot of different capability acquisition. And it's almost like you've learned every different part of putting together a new art form, and it all comes together at a certain point, at a certain time, because the timing's right for something like this. And I just recall your visit to the Vatican, you know, so the Pope has a big healthcare conference every couple of years, and you're there. And it's so funny because I had it from other people before I talked to you about it. They said, you know, Steve was kind of the star of the show there. And I said, well, he was the star of the show because he wasn't inside of a silo. I mean, just not being in a silo differentiated him from almost everybody else in the place. Yeah. He's actually doing what the conference was supposed to get people to think about doing. You were already the demonstration.
I was, without a doubt, I want to say there was a room full of the most intelligent people in the world, the most decorated in their own professions in the world, you know, clinicians and academics and world leaders and people that, you know, have both so accomplished, but so intellectually and otherwise at the top of their game, and still not seeing this broader shift that's happening around global collaboration to improve the health and well-being of everyone world through entrepreneurs. Again, entrepreneurs being peace. There's lots of people that think they're on the cusp of curing cancer, and you kind of know that and see that they're spinning their wheels inside of research labs, not bringing it out. And for many different reasons, siloed is one example of, there are a lot of siloed data sets and a lot of siloed activities that unfortunately aren't able to break through to collaborate. So yeah, I mean, it's been a fun journey. I feel like everything we're always doing is practice for what we're about to do. And I said that 7 years ago when we launched Startup Health, and I said that 15 years ago and 20 years ago. And I know I'll say it in 5 years from now.
Yeah.
But everything we've done up until then is practice for what we're about to do. So it's an interesting continual accumulation if you really are a total creative economic integrator.
Yeah. And I think that the model, and I'll just leave off here, and this is a major, major podcast. In the workshops, I've done this pyramid, which I talk about Maslow's pyramid of how your ability to actually enjoy life, you know, this is Abraham Maslow, probably 70 years ago, that if you're just about survival, you don't have mind space for anything else. Safety is the same way, belonging. But at the top of the pyramid is where you're actually transforming yourself. Everything else below you is supporting you just to transform who you are. Then I do another model where I talk about that the happiest people on the planet are the people who don't have any limit on gaining greater freedom of time, freedom of money, freedom of relationship, and freedom of purpose. And I said, so based on my definition of happiness based on freedom and this pyramid, which accounts for 7.7 billion people on the planet, where on the pyramid do you think you are? I have my magic marker out there, and I say, where should I put you on this? And they all have to put themselves at the very tip of the pyramid. And I said, so if you're at the tip of the pyramid, where are you trying to get to? I said, you're there. So all you have to do is just keep expanding the freedom that you have and include as many other people as possible in the happiness that you're already experiencing. But you're not trying to get anywhere. And I think if you're right in the center of Total Creative Economic Integrator, there actually isn't another destination to get to.
No, it's actually the vehicle.
Yes.
You've created the vehicle to get into, to keep riding. You might shed things along the way and add new things, but it is a framework. Many years ago, you had a value creator tool. I think it was called the Value Creator that talked about mitigating people's biggest challenges and helping them capture their biggest opportunities and maximize their strengths. And in a very simple way, that was very much a one-to-one kind of framework, right? We're going to help you and add value to you. And I think that while that is one component of being a total creative economic integrator, what you've kind of done is said, yes, there might be value creation to someone, but creating that value is more inclusive than a one-to-one individual relationship. It's actually more of a collaboration between lots of things. Some are full-time team members of yours, some are relationships outside. And so this model almost is the outer skin of that model, right? Mm-hmm. Which almost the outer piece. So it's like a vehicle for you to be open versus closed to how you think about value creation. And so I do think there's some real value to some of those early value creation models for your base company. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you want to be in game changer, that could be a limiting factor. Mm-hmm. So this wraps around it a nice little framework. And I'll use a frame of a little cherry on top of the value creation model is this outer wrapping of being a total creative economic integrator.
Yeah. Yeah. Very insightful. And my mind is expanding as we've been talking for the past hour.
That's, by the way, our attempt at doing a half hour episode.
Yeah. Well, you got to start with some goal in mind. Anyway, appreciate it. And I'd like to fill you in on the game changer for this quarter. And the other thing is we have to get to you with 10 times dates because we have a lot of dates for 10 times. You don't want to miss your quarterly coaching.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, Steve. I'm so blown away with the seriousness and the focus that you've brought to a model that's just 2 weeks old.
Or 32.
Or 30 years.
30 years and 2 weeks.
Good.
Thanks, Dan.